Oh, thank God someone set it on. Okay. We have the alternate director, David Silva. Thank you. And then we have director Joan Hartman.
Here.
And then we have legal counsel Steve Torjani is online. And then for the EMA GSA, we have director Brett Marini is
Online.
online. That was long. And then we have director Brad Jost. We have director Elizabeth Arona is not able to be here today, but we have alternate director David Brown.
Here.
And I'm online as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth. But since your location is not posted on the agenda, you just can't participate, but definitely be listening. Where was I? Oh, so Director Joan Hartman for the EMA
Here.
is here still. And then for the legal counsel, we have Steve O'Neill for the EMA GSA is online. And then for the WMA GSA, we have Director Jeremy Ball. And then we also have Director Steve Jordan. And then we have Director Joan Hartman again. And then for alternate director for we have Ron Stassi. And then alternate director Mike Garner. And then legal counsel for the WMA is Isaac St. Louis, and he is online. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to go back to the EMA. I had an addition because I forgot to update this. We have director for the agriculture representative director is Doug Circle, and he is here in person. I'm sorry about that. So you have quorums on all three boards.
Perfect. Okay, now it's time for public comment. Anybody in the public who would like to comment on matters not on today's agenda? And are there, it doesn't appear to be anybody in the room, anybody online?
I do not have any hand raised. I don't have any microphones. I'm done.
All right. So,
Supervisor Hartman.
yes.
I have a couple of changes to the agenda due to there's a lot of extenuating circumstances today, and people have schedules that they have to leave early. And so, in order to keep our quorum and to get the most important items done today, I would suggest that we take item 12 first, followed by 6, 7, and 11. That would mean items 5 and 8 and 9 through
10.
9 and 10 and 14 would be pushed back a little.
All right. Then let's start with item number 12.
Yes, this is a CMA and WMA item only, and given that Director Silva needs to leave shortly, we need to get this done before the end of the year. The item is authorizing the plan manager of the CMA and WMA only. This is a CMA and WA only item to send a stream gauge commitment letter to CalSIP. And John Fio is on the line just to kind of give you a briefing on what CalSIP is and why we are asking for a commitment letter today from the CMA and WMA boards. John, can you join us? I see that he's on.
The microphone is unmuted, but we can't hear him.
Are you having some technical difficulties, John? Okay. Then I suggest we move to item number 6 and we can come back to 12.
All right. And will you read that into the record or let us know what that's about? It's about our Prop 68 grant.
Yes, right. So
Okay.
thank you. So item 6 is Prop 68 We're going to receive an update on the Prop 68 grant and consider approval of the First Amendment and restated subgrant agreement. So in your packet is the First Amendment and restated subgrant agreement between the San Ynez River Water Conservation District and the three GSAs. This is to implement the Prop 68 grant in the San Ynez Basin. Previously, the CMA and WMA approved the a subgrant agreement, but since then, since the review by EMA Council, there was a few language changes, which I could have one of the attorneys online take us through what those are. But what we'd like today is for the joint boards to each consider approving the First Amendment to the subgrant agreement. Steve, or one of the Steves, or Isaac, could you take us through it? I think maybe Steve Torrigiani would be the best person.
Yeah, so basically, there's a change to the indemnification provision in 10A. And you'll see in the packet, there's red line language on that, that basically carves out an exception to the GSA's indemnity obligations. And that would be with respect to the grantee, which is the parent district's active negligence or willful misconduct. And then there's some additional language that basically puts a cap on the grantee's responsibility of $154,000, which is consistent with what the grantee is receiving to administer the grant. That was discussed amongst Brett Stroud in my office and Steve O'Neill on a call, and came up with sort of this language that I think, I won't speak for Steve O'Neill, but I think he was comfortable with that change.
And yes, I was. This is O'Neill, Steve, and yes, I agree with the with your categorization. I agree with those edits.
Yeah, and I think there was another change where, and I can't remember the paragraph. I don't see a red line here. Maybe I'm missing it, but a 30-day cure period was changed to a 60-day cure period. And I'm not sure I'm seeing that. Do you happen to see that, Steve? Or maybe that wasn't incorporated into this?
Was one of the edits we agreed to, and I'm trying to...
So it should be paragraph 17, I believe. And so
17 or 18, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and the 30 days there... to cure was going to be changed to 60, I believe.
Yeah.
So those are the two. I mean, there were a lot of questions that we went through and resolved. But at the end of the day, those are the two changes that's the difference between the agreement, subgrant agreement that's been signed by the other two GSAs in the parent district and this, what we're calling the first amended restated.
I guess the first question is, was that 30 to 60 day incorporated, or do we need to have a motion that?
Yeah, I think you, Supervisor, I think we need a motion to, there's the edit. I think we need a motion to approve as amended with the 60 day cure period.
So for everyone, that's on page 8, item 17. It's about halfway down. The grantee intends to terminate this agreement due to the breach in 60 days. We're going to change it from 30 to 60, and that was what was agreed to by the parties.
Right.
So are there any comments by members of the boards? And so this was negotiated by the attorneys, and it's well vetted, and probably no real outstanding issues.
No, none. This language, I think, made the EMA's council a bit more comfortable. And so, and the council for the WMA and CMA were comfortable with the revised language. So the recommendation from staff is that each of the GSAs approve this First Amendment to the subgrant agreement.
And then procedurally, can we just have one vote or do we need to do it separately?
Madam Secretary, I believe we need to do it separately.
Okay. Just is there any public comment, anybody online or in the room who wants to raise any issues about this public meeting? Seeing none, I think we can go ahead and vote.
So for the CMA, Director Lair.
You need a motion.
Oh,
I'll move for approval.
A little hard to hear, Amber.
Yeah.
I'll second.
Include the indemnification edits.
That's already in the document.
Amber, is there any way you can sit over here? The folks online can't hear you.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
As amended.
I don't talk loud enough? Okay, yes, as amended. So Director Lair made the motion.
I'll second Hartman.
Okay. And you're non-voting director, though.
I'll second.
Oh,
it's the CMA.
I'll second.
Okay.
Everyone's
second. Okay. So, so David's second. Okay. So then for voting, it's just the two of you. Roll call vote. Director
aye.
Lair.
Aye.
Director Silva. Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All approved. And for the EMA, we have to, would you like to make the same motion?
Yes.
Okay. So Director Hartman makes the motion. Who would like the second?
I'll second it.
Joe seconded it. And for voting, we have Director Hartman.
Aye.
Director Joes. Director Marry Me.
Aye.
Director Circle.
Yes.
And Director Brown.
Yes.
Okay, so that is all. And then for the WMA, who would somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
That same motion. And okay, so here's the second by Director Jordan. And then we have voting Director Hartman is a non-voting director. Director Ball.
Aye.
Director Jordan. And then alternate Director Stassi.
Yep.
Alternate Director Gardner. And that passed unanimously also.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so now we're turning to item number 7 on our agenda. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, Your Brother.
Okay, review and consider approval of the WMA GSA task order with Stetson Engineers to prepare a consolidated 2024 Santa Ynez River Valley Groundwater Basin Annual Report and Joint Cost Share and Reimbursement Agreement between the EMA, CMA, and WMA.
Great. So on page, let's see here, is it page 107 of your packet? It is a staff report that was prepared collectively by Dan Heimel and myself as executive directors of the three GSAs. And the purpose of the staff report is to provide the directors some background on the procurement process for the selection of a consultant to consolidate the three annual reports into one. We asked for proposals from Stetson Engineering and from GSI. And after reviewing the proposals, it's staff recommendation to have Stetson Engineers do the work. Their price was lower. We also considered the fact that Stetson would only need to integrate one report into their format as opposed to GSI needing to integrate two reports into their format. So it sort of made sense to us, given the cost was lower and just the logistics of two versus one. Our recommendation is to go with Stetson. And Dan, am I forgetting anything important that you wanted to mention to the board before we ask them to consider action on it?
I think you covered it pretty well. Hello, everyone. Sorry to be participating remotely. But I think we felt both consultants were equally qualified and could perform the job. And so it just came down to it seemed to be a little simpler and presumably it was cheaper to have Stetson take the lead. And so that was staff's recommendation.
All right. Do any board members have any questions or comments about this? Any members of the public? Anybody online? And then the question is the voting procedure like we did before?
Yeah.
Need some help with that. So,
okay. So the motion would, the recommended motion would be to
staff recommendation.
The staff recommendation.
So moved.
Okay, so we're going to start with the EMA then.
Sorry.
No, we're going to, it's okay. We'll change it up. So number seven. So it's motioned by Director Hartman. Anybody would like to second it for the EMA? Director Joe seconded. Okay, so for the EMA.
It was Director Circle.
It was Director Circle. Okay, well, let me move it. Okay. I saw two hands going up over there. So we have the roll call vote, Director Hartman.
Aye.
Director Joe's. Director Marini.
Aye.
Director Circle.
Yes.
And Alternate Director Baum.
Yes.
Okay. So that passes all. For the CMA, we'd like to have a motion.
I'll make the motion.
A staff recommendation.
A staff recommendation motion.
Okay. And then we have a second by Director Lair. Roll call vote, Director Lair. Alternate Director Silva.
Aye.
And that passes. And then for the WMA, we have a motion.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Director Jordan moved it. Do we have a second? Alternate Stassi would like to second it. So we have roll call vote, Director Ball.
Aye.
Director Jordan.
Aye.
Director, Alternate Director Stassi. Alternate Director Gardner. And that passes unanimously as well.
All right, so turning then to item number 11, and this is an EMA only, review and consider approval of contract services agreement with Robert Stilt, CPA, for the EMA GSA bookkeeping service.
So I'm going to, this is an item for the EMA, so Dan, if you would like to put on your camera and mic. There he is.
Yes, thank you. I guess meeting facilitator Hartman. I'll just move through this pretty quickly in the interest of everybody's time. The EMA GSA needed to select a new bookkeeper as the current bookkeeper was not interested in extending services past the end of the calendar year. We solicited two proposals, both equally qualified firms. The one firm was significantly lower in price than the other firm and was geographically located closer to where our office is. So that also saves time and money. And so we are recommending that the EMA GSA consider approval of contract service agreement with Robert Stilts for EMA GSA bookkeeping services.
All right. So does anybody on the EMA board have any comments about this? So could we get a motion?
Make a motion to accept.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. And Director Circle, all right.
So number 11 was a motion by Director Jones and a second by Director Circle.
And with Director Marami, we need the
roll call vote. Okay, so we have a motion by Director Jones, a second by Director Circle. Roll call vote, Director Circle. Director Marami.
Aye.
Director Joe's and Director Hartman.
Yes, I realize I forgot to ask if there was any public comment on this item. So seeing none in the audience, just want to make sure for the record that we gave everybody an opportunity.
And I don't see any hand raised in online either.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. And then Director Brown.
Yes.
Okay. So that is unanimous. And we need to go back to item 12.
Item 12. And I think John Fio is back on the line. John, can you hear us? Can you talk to us?
Okay.
Yeah, just
I'm here. On the record, item 12 is CMA and WMA only, discuss and consider authorizing plan manager to send stream gauge commitment letter to CalSIPS.
Great. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. I apologize. My computer died on me right before I was on. But miracles do happen. So anyway, what this is about is there are some stream gauges that need to be constructed or reestablished within the WMA and CMA as part of the GSP implementation effort. DWR came out with a program The CalSIP program, which stands for the California Stream Gauge Installation Program, where they are providing stream gauge construction and reestablishment services, for free. So it's basically, like a grant. They'll be doing the work for free. And the deadline for the applications are the end of this month. And one of the things that they look for that we found out during the application process, because we already initially have completed the initial part of the application, now we're trying to get all the other details pulled together. One of the things they're looking for is an assurance that there is a commitment to continue utilizing these gauges after they've come in and, got them going for us. It's a little tricky for us because, we're not like an agency that has been doing this kind of work for years and just say, we do this and we'll take these gauges on and we'll include them into our monitoring network. Historically, all the stream gauging was done by the USGS. And so we're kind of in a new situation here. And so our approach to this is doing the best job we can to show that, we're GSAs, we're real agencies, we're making a commitment to do that, to operate these gauges, into the future. And so that's basically what this letter is describing. And it's informing DWR how, the USGS has been involved. We're going to be continuing the GSAs will be hiring staff like contractors and so forth that'll be implementing these gauges consistent with like USGS guidelines and so forth. So it's trying to give that assurance to DWR. As part of this application project. And, then we can cross our fingers and hope that, the GSAs can save some money by having DWR do this work for them. And so that's what this commitment letter is. I don't know if there's questions or something or more. Did you want to add, Bill, or?
The letter's on 142 of the packet. It's the draft letter. And so we're asking the board today to consider authorizing the plan manager of the CMA and WMA to send this letter in form to CalSIPS as part of the application process for the two stream gauges in the one in the CMA and one in the WMA.
Are there any questions or comments?
I have a question. So this covers the installation costs. Is there significant operational costs?
Is it operational? I think we already have funding for the installation. I think this would be for operations.
We're trying to get funding for both. We're trying to get funding for the installation and reestablishment of two gauges that previously existed but have no longer been utilized. They haven't been utilized in recent history. But that's what the crux of the matter is that they would be utilized as part of the monitoring program moving forward, and they would be funded by the GSA. So, I mean, this is basically something that, as described in the GSPs, as part of implementing the GSPs, this is something that the GSAs have already committed to. But we're trying to, now with this new opportunity that came up, we're trying to get, a significant cost benefit by having DWR deal with the construction, permitting, and getting the gauges up and going, and then it would be a matter of maintaining them into the future. That's what the GSAs would be responsible for.
So, John, I think it's anticipated that we would move the funding that was allocated in the Prop 68 grant elsewhere, or we would use, or we would use it in addition to. I think that was the one.
Right. Right.
Which was it, both or one or the other?
It depends. It's both, actually. Okay. So
if we have enough money under one, great. And if we need more, we've got two, grand.
Yeah, and I think the important thing here is, it's kind of like playing the lottery. You can't win if you don't play. We're not committing to anything, but if we try to work out all the details and make sure that, this is something that the GSAs want to pursue, we'll miss the deadline. And so, there's no reason that you can retract your application if for some reason you don't want to continue forward. But we're really just trying to keep ourselves in the game to hopefully get benefit from this.
Any other questions or comments?
I just have a quick one. Do we have a better chance than the lottery of getting success?
Well, our initial application went in October, so we were up near the front. So hopefully we have higher odds. I would think that this would be attractive because of the fact that, the river system is so critical to managing the basin, and there's a long history of, of monitoring the river and the streams in the basin. And it's relative to like other types of sites, it's pretty straightforward. So I'm cautiously optimistic, put it that way.
Yeah, we're 3 for 3 so far. So, and DWR views the Santa Ynez Basin positively. They like our plans, and they like the way things are going here. So, I would say we have a pretty good chance.
What's the deal?
I have a question online. Is there any reason why we're not also considering stream gauges in the eastern management area? If Bill or you could address that, that would be great.
Yes. So the EMA already has active stream gauges in it already. They're very. We have plenty of gauges in that stretch of the river from the dam to basically the edge of Skip Mesa. So there was no need for an additional gauge in the EMA portion of the Santa Ynez River.
And they're all functioning properly, so there's no maintenance associated with that, and that's why it's not included. I just want to make sure we clarify that. Thank you.
Yes, correct. I mean, there's really a lot going on with those gauges with respect to activities by the Katrina project, and so there's a lot of focus on those gauges, and so at this point, there's really no need to spend additional money there.
Did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say one of the stream gauges is on my property.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
I'll be opening a gate so something like that, so I'll give you a key to that.
Okay, is there any public comment on the on this item, either in the room or online? And then I gather that this is just a CMA WMA vote, and you'll handle that.
So, since it's only a CMA and a WMA vote, we could do.
Okay, so
But we first need a
motion.
motion. Okay, so.
The motion is to authorize the plan manager to send the stream gauge commitment letter to CalSIPS, and the draft is provided in the packet, and you're approving this letter as to form. There may
So.
be a minor edit that might have to, if we catch a typo or something like that.
So moved.
So for the WMA, Director Jordan moved.
I'll second.
And then Director Ball seconded. So for the WMA, we have a all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, 4-2-0. And for the CMA, who would like to make a motion?
Move.
Okay, Director Silva motioned it, and Director Lehrer seconded it, and all in favor? Any opposed? All approved.
Great. So, Director Hartman, now we can
To item five.
item 5 and proceed numerically over the items that we haven't covered yet.
Okay, receive presentation of October 2024 Santa Ynez Basin groundwater monitoring from the Santa Barbara County Water Agency.
So yes, today we have Matt Scudato from the County Water Agency, who went around the valley back in October and collecting our second of two water levels for the year. And Amber, if you could put the, can we put the presentation up? There's a copy of the presentation in your packet, and it's let's see.
Very good.
Is it in the packet? I don't know.
Yeah.
Beginning.
Yeah, right at the start.
It has been updated. So on your paper, it's not the same as what you're going to see on the.
Yeah, so I apologize for that. There were a couple of last minute errors, a couple of catches that thanks for the finding those.
And is the mic operating? Just want to be sure.
Hey, just check. Is it on?
No, we're in that microphone.
Hello.
Oh yeah.
Hello. No.
You just have to be like.
I got the. There we go. Thank you very much. Okay, this is very general, very brief. Basic, you know, water levels for October. This is a hydrologic minimum. We do this twice a year in March and October. So next slide, please. So this is going to be basin-wide. So essentially what we want to do is get a hydrologic maximum in March and a hydrologic minimum in October. And we look at this data over a long period of time so we can analyze our trends. So this is essentially our network currently. It does tend to change. We lose and gain wells throughout the years. But we have 122 wells within the basin. 61 of those are representative wells. Those are shown in yellow are the representative wells in each of the management areas.
Can you explain the difference between representative and...
Oh, yeah, sure. So throughout the basin, we really want as many wells as possible, not too many that we're wasting our time. But we do want enough wells to show how the water is flowing so you can do some good contours, so you can really see everything throughout the basin and what's happening, both at the hydrologic max and min. The yellow wells are the ones where we establish minimum thresholds. So those are the ones that you know, we're really focused on within our GSP. And yes, again, the water levels are one of the indicators for chronic lowering of groundwater, in the sustainability indicator. Okay, next slide, please. So we're going to start on the east side, work our way down. So there are 22 representative wells in the EMA. 13 of those are in the Paso, 19 are in the Carriega. Those are the yellow ones, again, are the representative wells. Those are 22 representative wells. Next slide, please. Okay, I did put this slide in here. Now, we're not going to compare this water level run to the sustainability criteria, because this is, again, our hydrologic minimum. Our sustainability criteria are using MTs that are our hydrologic maximum in March. So we don't want to compare apples to oranges. So I wanted to mention that. So I know we're all very interested in our minimum thresholds, but these water levels in March really are not related to the minimum thresholds that we have established throughout the basin. But these are our criteria that we have for both the Paso and the Carriega. And this is what we tend to review in March. So we'll just move to the next slide. So again, this is real general, basic. This is all the wells within the EMA. Those highlighted in yellow are our representative wells. And there was an increase, and all we're looking at here is an increase over 1 year from 2023 to 2024. I kept this very general, and there was an increase in 74% of the entire network. So we'll move to the next slide to show how that representative wells are here. So within the Paso, 10 of those wells increased, 2 of those wells decreased, Carriega, 7 increased, and 2 decreased within a 1 year period, hydrologic minimum. And the wells that are circled are the ones that have dropped.
And just to be clear, that's October of last year to October of this year?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. And something else I should kind of point out here, if we move to that, and you see it in your packet, I show this data exactly for what it is. If it dropped 0.06 or point, you know, half a foot, I mean, these are measurements at a point in time. We do not have continuous monitors in these sites. So these do tend to fluctuate. Hydrologic maxes and mins could vary between months and weeks. What we do is we look at every single March, decade after decade, and we can look at very long trends. So as we look at this data and we see O2 decreased, we have to look at how much it decreased. If it's 3 to 4 feet, then we understand there might be an issue there. But some of these only decreased, you know, quarter of a foot, which isn't necessarily a problem because we don't have continuous monitoring at all of these sites.
Generally, these are irrigation, agriculture irrigation wells, correct?
It's a mix. It's a very big mix. Yeah. We have a little bit of everything, which is another great point, because if somebody pumped for 2 days, 3 hours ago, they shut it down. I go to a site. I don't know that well was pumping. I have one discrete measurement, and without a continuous trend, it's hard to tell exactly what happened in that well.
Question online, what's the fidelity of your measurement? I mean, there's some, you know, error that could be in the measurement. So how precise are you?
Well, the ground surface elevations and ERPs are, we do have excellent elevations for those. And we have, the tapes haven't been calibrated in some time. We used to do that with the USGS. We don't calibrate those tapes anymore. But the equipment's in excellent shape. I mean, I don't. If I can understand if your tape's kind of bent or there are some issues with the equipment, you would have kind of larger problems. But these measurements are fairly accurate using electric tapes and steel tapes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was hoping you could quantify it with an error number.
I measured to the hundredth.
Okay, thank you.
Although provided data may come in within half a foot to a foot.
And you use the same equipment each year, so it's consistent.
Correct. And different wells use different equipment.
I have a question for you. Now, you revised this chart, I heard.
Yes, it was.
We have one well that was down 30 feet, now it's up 30 feet.
Well, that's what I did. I took the 2023 to the 24 column and switched those, and that's why these last four Solvang wells flipped. That was my error. I apologize for that. I can understand it's confusing.
You could have a half a foot. Couple feet. There, I noticed quite a few, 15. You know, there's some big jumps in these.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it's not an anomaly then. Like you were saying, generally it's just a little bit. Now I'm seeing some big jumps.
Big jumps is where you want to focus on. If you're seeing something small, I wouldn't be very concerned about that.
You know, a point here for me, because, you know, I see your chart every time I get it, and then I got to focus on it and try to make sense for me, okay? You know what really helped me on your chart? And this is a great chart, don't get me wrong. If you had the minimum thresholds for each one of these wells listed there, and then if we could have a continuous, you know, for all the years you've been measuring, so we as board members can see trends, and it helps to really understand this, just the point in time it, you'd be almost a knee-jerk reaction, like when I saw 30 feet, you know, that was my knee-jerk. Mm-hmm. And I don't want a knee-jerk reaction, so that's why I like trends. So
correct.
If you can have a chart that was inclusive like that. Sure.
Yeah, I tend to do that in March because I'd like to correlate those to the minimum thresholds, but we could do that in October as well.
Okay. It's I just, appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good, and then having the minimums on there. Then we... You know, as board member, we go, uh-oh, we better look, you know, we're getting at our 50% maybe or something.
Right. I'll make a general statement that correlating your hydrologic mins right now to your minimum thresholds won't look very good, because they will be far below your minimum thresholds.
What was that again?
Your minimum thresholds right now, if your minimum thresholds are set at hydrologic maximum. These are hydrologic minimum measurements. So by comparing those to the hydrologic max, which was that chart earlier of what our minimum thresholds are set at, it's not a very good indicator. It's not a very good relationship. I mean, we can graph that out though, but it would jump out as something large when, and that's the reason why I only tend to show graphs and hydrographs for the hydrologic max when comparing those to the hydro minimum thresholds.
But the timing issue.
It's the time of year. All right. I didn't want to compare something that shouldn't be compared.
Right.
And have it jump out as looking
and
inconsistent.
You And if we did hit one of our, we were approaching a threshold. What was good, I was talking with Doug earlier, and he's our ag rep. I don't know if you guys know, we have an ag rep on our board. And he brought up to me, we were talking about the pumping, you know, mm-hmm. times a year, eggs pumping, you know, so you expect this and yep. you see the rebounds later. So that's going to be important for us.
Okay. Well, in the future, we can have everything plotted out.
Okay. I yeah. appreciate it.
Yeah. That's great. Not a problem. That's why I said I kept this presentation as general as possible. But that's the EMA. I was going to move on to the next one. If anyone have EMA issues, questions, thoughts?
Let me just add, just for clarity's sake. So Matt Young, Santa Barbara County Water Agency. I work with Matt. We're the Mats. So just to be clear, so the long run trend analysis is done by your consultant GSI every spring in the annual report. We were asked to do this by some of the directors of some of the agencies. This is just supposed to be a quick snapshot. Here's what the fall levels look like. Our MTs are set on spring levels. These levels are irrelevant for comparing to MTs. Okay. Fall levels cannot be compared to spring levels, to spring MTs. So I'll say in the future, we're not going to compare these to MTs for you. It's going to be very confusing, and it's not relevant for management of the basin. So the spring annual report and spring analysis of water levels is what you want to look at for MTs. Okay, this is a snapshot in the fall that's going to be up and down.
Yeah, there are very big differences between the max and min of the year, but these are used for the contouring, and they'll be in the annual report. CMA. Currently, there are 7 wells with minimum thresholds set. In this network, 16 wells in total. We're building on this portion of the basin right now. We're adding a few wells as we move along. And the yellow wells again are our representative wells. Next slide, please. Thank you. So these are our minimum thresholds. I'm just mentioning this. It's 15 feet below 2020 water levels, spring water levels. That's why we're not making this comparison with the levels this year. Next slide, please. Or this October. And this is what we collected in March, and there was an increase in 36% of the wells with data that we have to compare. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, you can go to the next one. That's fine. So no major drops, 2 increase, 3 decrease. The biggest drop was 3.4 feet, 1.8 feet on the... on the western end. The wells that did drop are shown with the yellow circles. Next slide, please.
So just to clarify, the easternmost well is not negative 29, it's positive 1.7. Is that right? Am I reading that right?
Negative 1.7.
Negative 1.7.
Next slide, please. Oh yeah, I think we skipped it on the EMA, but this is just another visual. I just kind of changed the size of the wells. The larger yellow shows the largest increase. The smallest darker black wells show the largest decrease. So it's just kind of a better visual of the well change. Any questions, CMA? Nope. All right, next one. And this is the western end, 67 wells in total, fairly large network. 32 of those are representative with the minimum thresholds. There are 18 in the upper aquifer, 14 in the lower. Again, yellow wells are representative wells. And next slide, please. Thanks. Yo. There we go. And these are the minimum thresholds for those representative wells. It's 10 feet below the 2020 groundwater levels. And we'll go
spring.
On.
Spring as well.
Exactly. All spring. Everything's in the spring. And this is a snapshot of everything that happened in October, showing just a 1-year change from 2023 to 2024. Increase in 66% of wells with comparable data from year to year. Go for it. Thanks. So this slide shows, you know, breaking out the aquifer between upper and lower, which wells have dropped. So 11 increased in the upper, 7 increased in the lower. Next slide, please. And just, well, again, another visual, changing the size, larger. Yellow shows the larger increases, upwards of, 4.25 feet. Smaller black dots are your wells that dropped within a one-year period. So, very general. Data is really good for contouring. No concerns about MTs, and that's on network to date. Any thoughts?
I have a couple of questions. First of all, what do you mean by, I'm trying to figure out what you want us to take away from this. So when you say it's useful for contouring, what does that mean?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we can use these data so we can map the flow of the water underground.
I see. And it's all flowing downhill. Okay.
Yes, I will probably do that. But.
And then when we look at our minimum threshold, we're measuring that after 2 years of regular average or above average rainfall. Is that correct?
Supervisor Hartman, if it's it's considered an undesirable result if it's below the minimum threshold.
After that.
Yes.
Okay. So we've had 2 years, two rainy winters. So that gets us 2 years that are above our average. So next spring will be an important time to measure. So what this has shown is kind of how the percolation or infiltration is occurring. But it all is that correct?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that exactly. That from the rain that we've had, because mm-hmm. it takes a while to actually get down into the groundwater. And if we don't get any rain this winter, next March will be a really critical time to measure, because it'll be after those 2 years of average or above average rain, right?
Correct.
Okay. That.
So this is telling us how low is the low in October, and then how much more are we going to have to rebound to get back to the typical March levels?
Yes. Or if we don't.
Or if we don't, yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so next March will be much more interesting than this presentation.
Well, or very very significant, and this sort of gives a preview of might depends on the winter.
Right.
Do we expect that there's still going to be percolation of water from previously still going down?
Maybe near much deeper aquifer wells, yeah, potentially.
Other questions from board members? Online, Director Merrimy? And anybody from the public? Or either in person or online? All right. Well, thank you very much for that.
We need to put in item 12A into this point, because Director Silva from the CMA needs to leave some new words on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't need a vote for that. Just we will adjourn officially the CMA.
Thank you.
And so that was just to receive, so there's no action, so we don't need any kind of a vote. So the next item is number 8, receive a verbal update on the above Narrows Alluvium Action Plan.
Thank you, Supervisor Hartman. Dan Heimel is, my colleague Dan Heimel is going to cover this one for you, and take it away, Dan.
Thanks, Bill. Joint meeting facilitator Hartman. Just wanted to provide an update on the above Narrows Alluvium Action Plan. Staff from both of the GSAs have met along with legal counsel and developed strategy to complete the initial steps of the action plan. Identified that Stetson Engineers and GSI Water Solutions would be the most qualified technical consultants to perform those initial activities. We've solicited a proposal from a joint proposal from those firms. received that proposal last week and are currently reviewing it, and we'll be bringing it back to the GSAs or a joint GSA board meeting once we've had a chance to fully vet and provide a recommendation with regards to that proposal. You know, if then approved, then those consultants would proceed with the technical work of identifying or delineating the above narrows alluvium area, identifying wells within the above narrows alluvium area, and then also wells that are which of those wells are reporting to the state and or the conservation district. The other piece of the action plan scope of work is to convene a series of workshops to help educate pumpers within the above narrows alluvium area. And so that's something that's also included in its support for that is also included in the proposal from the technical consultants. And so that would be something that the GSA boards could expect to see more information on in 2025. And that concludes my update.
Any comments or questions from the board? Director Merrily, just checking with you.
I'm good. Thanks, Dan.
Any comments or questions from members of the public? All right, and we don't need a vote on that. So turning then to item 9, review and consider approving proposed schedule of quarterly joint GSA meetings for 2025. So we've got 4 meetings scheduled for Fridays, basically quarterly.
So if there's any questions about those dates, I think we would continue to have them at this date, this venue and this time, if so long as that works for everybody. If that does not work for any of the directors, please let us know as soon as possible so we can find a time where everyone is available.
I think it's really helpful to get this out, you know, before January as we're scheduling so that we can make this a priority. And we do have alternates, so that's a really good thing. So there's no reason we shouldn't have a quorum
right
at these meetings going forward. Okay, any comments from the board? Any comments from the public?
Joan, Supervisor Hartman, I would concur with what you just said. I mean, I think, you know, having that out there on a Friday, I think it makes it easiest probably for us to be able to come together. So we've kind of set the precedent, you know, past years and this year, and we might as well just continue doing what we're doing. I think it helps us to plan around and plan for these meetings. So thank you.
Okay. And then moving to item 10, GSA board member reports and requests for future joint GSA agenda items. So what do we want to hear about in the future at these meetings?
I think what we've been doing is good, and just to continue that as far as I'm concerned.
I think Prop 68 and getting a more general update on where we are. I think at our last meeting, I'm trying to remember the exact item, but we were going to get help from our agricultural representatives to do a specific task related to Prop 68. I wonder if you could report back on how that went.
Yeah, and that, sorry if I skipped over that with all the hubbub, but we are reaching out to agriculture, different stakeholders. We did send out a solicitation asking, it went to our mailing list, our emailing list, and then with the help of Director Circle, it went also to the Farm Bureau and the Vintners Association. And I mean, it was like hundreds of email addresses that the solicitation requesting participation in the Prop 68. We did get some responses. We did get a few responses, which is positive. As a matter of fact, as a result of that, Matt Scrudato actually monitored a few other wells of this. It was actually, you know, after the main October time, the main October monitoring, but he did measure it in November, which we're going to consider the hydrologic low. So we did get some good response, and there is some good action moving forward. And yes, Director Hartman, I agree. We would be happy to keep this as a standing item on joint agendas.
Yeah, I think it, I guess I feel a need, you know, what are the tasks? What's the timeline? How are we making progress? Are we getting behind? Are we where we're supposed to be? That's the kind of information that would be really helpful. And I don't believe I come away from this meeting with that understanding. And we may get it in our individual GSAs, but I think it's great as we're all together because we each have a piece of it to get that overview and a sense of tracking it.
There's no yellow flags out at this point in time, was there?
No, everything is moving. Of course, we'd like things to move faster. John is on the line. I don't know, John, do you have any information for the board to address Supervisor Hartman's question?
I would say that I'm trying to find my video. I'm sorry about that. We have been meeting weekly as collectively with all three GSAs and their executive directors and getting this train running. And we have made a lot of progress. And as we said earlier, you know, the biggest hill that we need to climb is getting the cooperation of the local landowners to participate with the various demonstration projects and so forth. And as Bill was describing, you know, we've gone through a strategic process that was inclusive, you know, that was open and inclusive to the entire basin. And we are in the process of now trying to narrow that down. And we actually have a meeting scheduled next week with Director Circle to try to narrow down it even further and try to get these sites actually identified and begin, you know, going into deeper conversations with the landowners. So we're making good progress. I wish it wasn't December, you know, because, you know, with the holidays and stuff, but I think we're on track with our goal to try to start getting these things going, you know, in the early spring. So that's where most of our effort has been. But, you know, there's other things like there was the seawater intrusion component that was in the WMA, and that's been taken care of. We talked about the stream gauging. You know, there was a lot of stuff that went on in the background for that, like Director Jordan was talking about. He you know, offered one of his sites, another site in the CMA. There were site visits and inspections, and there's a monitoring plan that's being put together. There's been kickoff meetings associated with different components. So there's things going on, and I totally understand the interest. And you know, with the direction of Bill and Dan, you know, we will put together those summaries on a quarterly basis for this group meeting. Kind of go through that checkpoint, show you what needed to get done, where we are with the schedule, and so forth. Because I do recognize that is you know, valuable for you all to be up to speed on things, especially when there are times when we need your help.
So my you broadcast widely to landowners asking for their assistance. And do we have enough, or do we still need more? Because I think, you know, we get a lot of emails. I think we need to maybe follow with phone calls or you know, knocking on doors of neighbors and a personal, if we still need more.
Right. That's going on at both at all levels. I mean, there are already some people that have, you know, through verbal agreements, have agreed to participate. I think we're going to end up okay. You know, I think it's next week. I'm hoping that we're going to actually have all the sites identified. There is on the ground contact going on with the landowners. You know, just like the example with the stream gauge, you know, and Director Jordan. So
I'm sorry to interrupt. All the sites that we need, you think we'll have by next week?
We'll have them like selected on a map. But there's still the process of access agreements that need to be put into place and so forth. But at least I'm hoping that we'll have them on a map. And then if we can get it done before the holidays, to be able to actually contact the landowners, if they haven't already been contacted, before then. So at least we can have, some verbal, agreements and, a plan to move forward once the holidays are over.
So I guess just to clarify, not all sites have somebody identified, but we do have it narrowed down spatially on a map where we want to go.
Right.
For the stream gauges, we do have, there's two locations. We've identified two locations in each management area. We have identified and talked with two landowners who have volunteered to do that. They're in this room today. And then as far as the weather stations and the metering plan, we have, we're doing some targeted outreach to the people that we received responses from. And so we're following up on those. And of course, as per the sub-grant agreement, we have to, and the grant agreement that the Conservation District has with DWR, we have to develop access agreements with those landowners. So that could take some time, but we're planning on getting that started in December. And like John said, it's kind of inconvenient to do it around the holidays, but we'll do our best and we'll get as many done as we can. And of course, we'll have John and Susan, who's also online today. She's another project manager for EKI, to give us a briefing at each of these meetings. I think that's some terrific input.
Good. Okay. Well, that's very helpful. Yes, please.
Quick comment, basically on the same discussion, but page 19, which shows our invoice number 4 for $104,000 and our total grant amount of $5.5 million. It might be helpful to have something that shows the percent completion column or total amount paid. I don't know what invoices 1, 2, 3, and 4 are, but we kind of know how our percent completion is and how we've paid and what we're looking at in future payment. Is this table here? Is that?
I could add the actual invoice that we submitted to DWR, and that shows what's been invoiced today. What I can add that in the next time.
Like
I
the
just
total,
provided the summary so you knew what was happening.
Yeah, the total amount of the first four invoices or the cumulative invoices gives us kind of a sense of completion.
And we do have a SharePoint site that we do post all of the invoices to. And if you don't know where it is, we can send it around again. Or if you have any questions, please give me or Amber a call and we can direct you how to access that information.
Thank you.
Yeah. So yes, that was another item that I'd like to have covered. We did do invoice number 4 and it's been submitted. We got it in early in hopes that we got ahead of the holiday rush and also the slew of additional progress reports from other basins. We wanted to try to get ahead of it as much as possible. DWR has done a really good job of, and the staff over at DWR, Scarlett and Eric Munoz, have done a really great job of working with us and, getting back with questions. And Amber's been excellent with getting those questions answered. And so we're doing our checks within 4 or 6 weeks after we submit the invoice. So
that's much better than they gave us reason to expect.
Yes. And now that the sub-grant agreement has been approved by the three, all the grant funds that have been received to date will disperse into the GSA accounts so we can keep the projects moving. We'll have the money to keep the projects afloat.
Good. So any other comments on the board?
Director
Circle?
That on, can you? So I would just like to ask for the deadline in 26 when this money has to be spent, and that we get sort of just a rough outline, reverse engineering from there as to what steps need to happen by when, so that we're on track and we, don't lag into a period that's not going to be reimbursed.
Right. I think that's the general sense of the board. Somehow we need a way to report to us our progress and what's still outstanding, both financially, but mostly in terms of the tasks from my perspective.
Yeah, I think that. So thank you for saying that.
Supervisor Hartman, I mean, if we're only at what 2% expended here at the end of 2024, we've got to accelerate in 2025 and 2026 if we want to try and take advantage of spending the full amount of the grant.
I want to say something specifically to that is you use the term reverse engineer. I use the term, maybe there's a couple different colors of yellow flags. As far as these joint meetings are concerned, I'd love every meeting for to be updated on what might be coming a yellow flag in context of timing. Because I do, again, we were told up front, the most important thing is we need to move quickly because time is of the essence. So again, I'd hate to be 6 months or 3 months away from the deadline and learn we're way behind on some of this. So that'd be my two cents.
And there may be things the directors can do that contribute to this. So we're a value added.
From a farming perspective, crops have different windows. For example, I don't think much irrigation done in grapes these days. And so we want to make sure that's done before the grape irrigation season. Strawberries have been planted, most of them. We missed that window of how much water for a strawberry crop. So we have to be aware of the different cropping for different farms. And we plant 12 months a year, but the other crops have different windows.
Yeah, that's an excellent.
We have to get the window to get the good data.
I just have to say, I'm happy to have an ag expert on the WMA.
We'll see. Grapes in wintertime. I think that's.
Okay. So I don't see any more comments from directors. Is there any member of the public who has any suggestions about agenda items for the future for this joint GSA meeting that you'd like to suggest? Any online, Amber? All right.
Before we adjourn, I have a question.
Supervisor Hartman, could I make a quick comment? I want to point out, and I think everyone recognizes that the EMA filled a very critical gap at our last meeting by adding Ag Director Doug Circle to our group. And, he has a lot of knowledge beyond the San Ynez Valley Basin, where he probably can advise on best practices or lessons learned from other areas that are dealing with Sigma compliance like we are. So I just hope that staff takes advantage of picking his brain to help us move forward strategically in the most efficient, most effective manner. And thank you, Doug, for joining our EMA. Greatly appreciated.
Pleasure.
And did you want to comment about that?
Well, I was just going to say that there might be an opportunity. The United Conservation District in Oxnard, which is part of the Fox Canyon GMA, which has an overdrafted basin and has done a lot of projects, including the Freeman Dam diversion dam to gather water, has offered to have a visit to their operations and see some of their projects.
A site tour.
And if
you get a bus for one of our meetings.
Right. So, one possibility, if there's interest, I mean, it would obviously still need to be worked out with them, but we could even do one of these meetings in their conference room at the same time we do a site visit. That would involve, significantly more time than we're spending today. So if there is interest, I'd be interested in understanding that interest and try to set something up. So,
could you elaborate a little more what we would learn that fits with our agenda, our mission?
So, they've had an overdrafted basin for 30 or 40 years, and they've had progressive boards that have gotten out in front of it and done management projects to increase the amount of water available. So I think I don't have a full agenda, but we would actually see some of the projects they've done and how they've paid off in terms of managing the basin. And they have several projects that are underway right now. So I think it would give us a feel for what's capable with these management projects, with a forward-looking, view, and then also, some of the obstacles that they've encountered. Many of these projects have been paid for by state and federal grants. And so, they're larger projects in scope and scale. And so, we're not really, our focus so far has been more narrow. And I would just think it might open up our eyes to what can be done.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I wonder if we would want to informally have a couple of us working on this with you to figure out what Bill and what the agenda would look like for such a meeting. I'd be happy to help. Would anybody else?
I would be happy to help as well, Supervisor Hart.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Somebody's got their hand
up. Yes, later. Yeah, please.
United is doing a lot of progressive
work. Just a second. Are we recording? Do you need to use the mic to record? So, Peter, would you come up?
Just want to add a little context to that.
Sure.
United, of course, is working on a lot of progressive projects involving Freeman diversion. That's a diversion from a river. I don't know if it has a lot of application to a new diversion on the San Ynez. I think most pointedly, what was interesting about the United presentation yesterday at Aqua from their assistant general manager is that what they're embarking on right now has about $1 billion price tag. So I think we got to keep that in mind, how that applies to me. Thank you.
Well, I think the broader question of direct experience of projects that are designed to increase water, recharge water, I think those are all of interest. So maybe we could at least put our heads together and think about what, there's nothing like actually seeing them on the ground. So we'll figure out what might make sense.
Yeah, I'd be happy to work on that.
All right. So I think there's just one final, please.
One of my little pet projects is the metering, and Director Joe's talked about remote sensing the meters. I think it's really nice when we do it once, and we do it right, and we get it painless as possible for the farmers, and get electronically do the whole thing. That's what progress we can do on that.
So you're saying remote meters that are read remotely, is that?
Remotely or easily. I mean, PG&E does have 15 sure. people walk. There's more electric meters than there are flow meters, for sure. They don't have 15 people walking around.
And, sure. And it's real time, ongoing. You can check. Yeah. So when that raises the question of when we're going to talk about what kind of meters we think are appropriate.
Absolutely. And that is tracking with the component 2. And right. and that, and we're, you know, we're working with actually on the WMA, Director Jordan and Director Ball are, you know, we have an ad hoc committee that is looking at that. And I think we're intending to have one in all three of the GSAs so that we can focus on, you know, what method works best, which are even maybe a group of methods.
So is this an agenda item that could come back at our next quarterly meeting?
Sure.
And then again, maybe we'll try to figure out some proposals for things, project types, that and how we might observe them.
Well, that's part of the process we're doing. We're checking how well meters work versus electric meters versus usage reports, and that's part of our grant
program. Uh-huh. But we'll learn more about it maybe at our next meeting. What you're finding,
and we'll have more information from hopefully from EKI on the progress of Component 2, which is. And also, Confluences is doing Component 2 in the EMA, and we'll have them both give us an update.
So our agenda got kind of scrambled, but I still have item 13, I think, that we have yet to tackle.
Yes.
Okay, and this is WMA only. Review and consider approval of the minutes of the joint special meeting of September 6, 2024.
The other two GSAs have already approved the joint minutes from our last joint meeting. The WMA has not, so we just thought we'd get that done.
So moved.
I'll second.
You guys are fast. Okay, so moved. Second. Okay, so all the WMA are here in person, so roll call, voice vote.
Aye.
All passes. Thank you.
All right, and before we adjourn, just a special appreciation for Amber. It takes a lot to manage the technology, manage three different boards at once, and I think you've done a stupendous job.
Carrying 13 teenagers and many adults.
Thank you very much. We adjourn.
Thank you.
And happy holidays.
Thank you. Okay, so it is 10:20. Oh, please, I need signatures from.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you very much. Department.
So, for 30 years now.
Beverly was nice enough to bring some cookies, and they're in the back of the house. So please help yourself. Thank you so much, Debbie.
I did not know that.
Are we done?
Yes, maybe.
Okay, I'll drop off. Hey, wish everybody a safe and wonderful holiday.
Oh, you too.
Thank you so much.